Indeed, the title of my sermonette is Empathy. With the number of mass shooting instances since the Columbine tragedy, which was back in 1999, which is hard to believe now how long ago and seemingly current that still is, it has become difficult to keep subsequent situations clear in our minds. There's been a rash over the decades of this sort of thing. In March of 2021, 10 people were cut down in Boulder, Colorado, our hometown, in a mass shooting at one of our local grocery stores, very close to the high school that my son goes to, my eldest son, Nicholas. Obviously, this hit our community and the region very, very hard, and it was subject to the news for a while until, obviously, the next tragedy, similar tragedy, occurred. One of my work colleagues, he's a former elementary school principal, and he also works as a volunteer with he's our training manager, and he works as a volunteer with the Boulder Police Department as a trained victim advocate. So this means that when there is a tragedy or a situation like this, Craig and a few others are called in, and they begin to work with the families of the victims and that sort of thing, or bystanders that need some help processing. And as you can imagine, that was a situation where it got pretty involved. Sadly, he's often called out to attend to the families of those who have been murdered or attacked in some vicious way, as was the case in our situation. It really is quite a commitment for Craig, and it means that he must provide aid in some gruesome circumstances. And what he often doesn't talk about when he's kind of relaying the latest thing he's been called to deal with, he doesn't talk about the impact on himself. And yet I'm looking at him and I'm speaking with him, and I can see the pain in his eyes, and I can feel the pain that he's feeling. I was checking in with him this past week. As I knew, the trial for the perpetrator is now underway some 3 years later. And Craig was assigned to work with the mom and dad of one of the victims. And this is a woman who had a cognitive disability and yet had ridden to work at the grocery store each day with one of our bus drivers at the company I run for some 19 years. So frankly, she got to know our drivers quite well. And actually, several of us have gotten to know the mom and dad quite well since the events. Margie and Tom have done what we can to help them cope with the unfathomable. And Craig has been right there. None of us as committed as Craig in that regard. He's been so empathetic. And now he sits with the family as the court plays the in-store video footage of the gunman going about the horrific and evil intentions. As he relates all of this to me, the tears are streaming down Craig's cheeks. So frankly and quite candidly, you can see the empathy that Craig has for the family and what happened and for all the rest of the victims. Now, for true Christians, we know that we have an empathetic advocate in Jesus Christ. And let's just jump right into Scripture and begin in Hebrews 2, and we're going to be covering verse 18. So again, Hebrews 2 and verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Now, because Jesus himself faced adversity, temptation, and physical suffering, Jesus understands and is truly empathetic with all that we go through. He has unlimited empathy for all of us and all that we go through physically, mentally, and spiritually. When we hear the prayer requests during our announcement portion of our service, I would say we feel them deeply. We know most of the people that we're praying for, some, if it's across the, you know, the waters. We may not know the person well, but we know that our brothers and sisters in Christ are hurting and struggling, and we would like to be able to do something to change this. In feeling this emotion, we should understand that Jesus takes it all onto his shoulders for all of us. So anything that we can feel, just imagine the depth and caring that Jesus and the Father feel for all of us. Now, let's consider the early story of Moses. Recall that his biological mother was a Hebrew, a daughter of Levi. When she gave birth to a son, she came to understand that she would struggle to care for her newborn son, and loving him very deeply, decided to try to give him up. As you know the story, she decided to place him in a reed basket and place him in the shallows in the river where he would be found. So let's consider the scripture in Exodus 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 6. So again, Exodus 2, 5 and 6. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Now, Pharaoh's daughter had obvious empathy for this baby, enough so she would take him in and raise him as her own. She could have saved him and just kept him in her household and had someone else attend, but she had that compassion, that empathy, and it was so profound and obviously moved by God that she knew she had to do this herself. I imagine, once again, that God had a deep hand in this reaction of the Pharaoh's daughter. But this, too, should make an impression on all of us, that God would have such empathy that he would save this child. Obviously, he had a great plan for Moses, the leader of the Israelites. And he sent his only son to be our savior and our future king. What empathy, what further empathy could we ever imagine? In Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he was attempting to school the brethren as to how they should conduct themselves as members of the church. More specifically, he was trying to provide the members with a guiding document and a sense of responsibility that we have one to another, that we should have, in essence, for one another, this empathy. So consider now Ephesians 4, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 31 and 32. Again, Ephesians 4 and verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Paul was being very clear with the brethren at Ephesus. If they could not show empathy for one another, how can they preach the gospel? The Father and the Son need us to express empathy in our interactions with each other as brethren, and that this is fundamental to the church and God's coming kingdom. We have an opportunity to practice each and every day with our families and our brethren here at church, and yes, even with our colleagues at work and at school. We're going to turn to the words of our Savior Jesus Christ now to wrap this up and show us what it truly means. We're going to be considering the words of in Matthew 5 and verse 7. Matthew 5, verse 7. Very well-known scripture, Jesus preaching to the masses at the time. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Words of Jesus Christ guiding us to be empathetic, to be caring, to understand that we have to give each other and be there for one another. And at this time of the year, as we're approaching now the fall holy days and really having that time of introspection and preparing, this is the time where we can say, are we doing all we can to support one another as we get ready?